today as we come to the table.
Again, the hard thing here and the damage I see, those oftentimes that are among us that rise up, they've made a lot of friends. And so maybe the leadership knows something that the whole body doesn't know. And the leadership wants to protect that person the same way Jesus protected Judas. I'm not going to give all the details because Judas may repent. That person may repent. And if you don't protect them and you just announce everything they've done to everybody, then now they could never come back and it's going to be hard to be restored. But here's the problem. When the leadership doesn't give all the details, you know what happens? They're hiding something. And then the person that's made friends with those that are rising up, they enforce that. Yeah, there's something wrong, man. And you see them pull a group away and they end up just falling off a cliff and the earth swallows them up.
Leadership can often be like a shepherd guarding a struggling sheep. In today's message, Pastor Mark unveils how those who rise up against you, causing trouble, often have many friends. Church leaders might know details you don't, choosing to protect the person as Jesus did with Judas, giving space for repentance. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. When leaders hold back, some suspect they're hiding something. This can lead friends of the troublemakers to pull others away, risking a group's downfall. You see how delicate this balance is? God's heart seeks restoration, not shame. Are you trusting godly leaders to handle issues with wisdom? Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Acts, chapter 20, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
The church is not yours, it's Jesus's. So keep your hands off of it, but love it and minister to it and teach it and feed it. And I shouldn't say it, them, the bride. Sounds so impersonal in that way, but you get my point. It's his church. And so again, you can hear Paul's heart here just saying, look, you've got to take care of them, but you have to have the proper perspective. Yes, God put you there, but God put you there in spite of yourself. That's the bottom line. You know, some people say, yeah, God put me here because he's not overseer. No, God put me here in spite of myself. God put me here as a testimony that anybody that will simply commit to God, he'll put them wherever he wants to put them. And we can all have those testimonies. We all know ourselves. Again, that's part of it. I mean, it's funny now, you know, now that the ministry's known a little bit more, you know, and so people come and they visit and they saw you on YouTube or this kind of thing and, you know, podcasts and that kind of stuff. And sometimes I think when you see that, you tend to think something in your mind about somebody and they're like, you know, it's so great to meet you. I said, and I think that sometimes they have the wrong image of, you know, just really, you're just a real person. And you're like, just hang out with me a week and all that'll dissolve real fast. You'll be fine. You'll see the truth and we'll all be back on equal playing ground here. He's telling that to overseers. Look, God, in spite of you, lets you do that. Now you take that responsibility seriously and you love God's people. And he says this, here's why he gives them this strong warning. Note what he says here in verse 29. He says, for I know this, and this comes by experience and the Spirit, that after my departure, savage wolves, not just wolves, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And then he says this, notice also from among yourselves, that is believers, men will rise up speaking perverse things and draw away the disciples after themselves. He says two things are going to happen. You're going to have noticeable unsaved wolves coming in trying to destroy the body of Christ, cause the church split, hurt people, do whatever. He said, but also you're going to have those among yourself that's going to rise up. Now, he may have only been talking about those at their home churches among themselves, but some believe he may have actually been talking to those pastors at that moment saying, some of you guys are going to cause a problem. Some of you want glory. Some of you want power. You ought to be more important than you should be. And if he was saying that, can you imagine the feeling, the tension? I mean, whoa. I almost feel like, you know, the disciples remember gathered around Jesus when he said, one of you is going to betray me. And they're all going, well, is it I? Is it I? Is it I? And that's a good heart to have. You want to know. But Paul gives a very heavy warning here about this kind of thing. And this is where it gets down to why I said, this is a pastor's conference. These are heavy subjects. But we cover it too as the body of Christ. And so notice this serious warning. The first thing he says, wolves are going to come in. And they're going to be savage wolves. And how did he know they were going to come in? Because the demonic realm was very aware of Paul. They were watching him. Remember with the demon-possessed man, the seven sons of Sceva, and Jesus we know, Paul we know, but who are you? They were watching Paul. And now Paul tells the guys, I'm not going to be around anymore to hold your hand. You've got to learn to walk as a pastor on your own, depending on the true shepherd, Jesus Christ. Even though I love you and I want to be there for you, you guys have to do this. Well, who else is hearing that? When Paul's sharing it, the demonic realm's right there watching. They're going, all right, this is our chance. And they're licking their chops and also thinking about lamb chops. And so they're ready to rock and roll. When Paul's gone, we're going to move in, we're going to attack. So he says, I know it's going to happen. And by the way, these things that Paul covers from without and within, it happens in every church. It's happened here once or twice over the years. It'll probably happen again if the Lord doesn't come back here at Calvary. It just is the nature of the enemy. It happens in every church where there's something that happens, whether it's a church disruption or there's a wolf or maybe a believer who just kind of gets out unruly and they have to be dealt with the leadership. It's going to happen. And so Paul says, I know this is going to happen. I know it by the Spirit. I know it by experience. And the first thing he addresses is the savage wolves that are going to come in. And Paul doesn't want him to be nervous all the time, looking at everyone, are you a wolf? Are you a wolf? Are you a wolf? You don't want to live that way. You want to love everybody and just give everybody an opportunity to be a part of the family until they show themselves that they're a wolf and they start eating sheep and causing problems in the body. And I think about the example that Jesus gave. I think even when we recognize that somebody might be trouble, as leadership, what we need to do is give them a chance just to watch them, pray for them, watch them and pray. Judas with Jesus. Remember, Jesus knew the moment he called Judas, he knew he was a wolf. But he wasn't going to let him be a wolf to eat the other disciples, which he never tried to do. He was a wolf coming after Jesus, which he ended up doing by bringing all the army and everybody to come and get Jesus there in the garden. But it's amazing to me, at the end of 3 years of being in the inner circle and Jesus knowing this guy is a wolf, none of the disciples even had a clue. What that tells me is Jesus never one time gave an inkling. He never released any private information about Judas. He never said anything when Judas walked away and they're like, yeah, they're all laughing. That was a great day. And that Judas, he's something else, isn't he? I'll say. He never did that. He protected Judas to give Judas time to repent. Now, had Judas done something that needed to be dealt with by a shepherd, he would have done it. But again, I love even the fact when Judas showed up, Judas stayed in order and stayed in line all the way till the very end. And even at the very end, this is amazing to me, when he came to Jesus in the garden and he came to the Lord, he walks up to the Lord. The Lord says to him, friend, why have you come? And I believe he said it some way like that. I don't know exactly how he said it, but I doubt it was like, friend, why have you come? Friend. I don't think that's what it was. I don't think it was sarcastic. I think it was, you still have time. You can still repent. Even though you've turned me in and now I'm going to go to the cross. Judas, I was supposed to go to the cross. If you hadn't turned me in, somebody else would have. This is all part of my plan. But with that said, you can still get out of this if you'll simply repent. He didn't repent. And now we know what happened to Judas. So my point is that we want to give people a chance and an opportunity, but once the wolf has shown its teeth, it's time for the shepherd to move in. And we're saying is, you're going to see some guys come in and do this, they're going to show their teeth, and you're going to have to take action. And again, when this takes place and it happens, he says, warn, be watching, don't be nervous. But again, be warned about that. He said, but when it happens, you're going to have to take action. And I've seen just once or twice over the years when a wolf's been identified, and we've had to take immediate action. And even just with that, there'll be a little bit of stir in the body. Well, what happened? Ooh, what happened? What did that guy do? What's going on? And you can kind of see it, you know. But it's almost easier when it's a wolf that's come in that doesn't really know the Lord and really exposes themselves as a wolf. That's an easier one for a body to get over. It causes a ripple, but then kind of levels off a lot sooner. It's the second one that Paul talks about that causes the real damage in the body of Christ. It's the second one that Paul talks about that causes the church splits. It's the second one in the body of Christ that causes people to doubt their leadership oftentimes because they don't have all the details and they don't know what's going on. You know, it's interesting. Jesus knew a lot of things about Judas that he didn't share with anybody else. And knew a lot of things about Judas that they didn't know. So when Jesus took action against Judas, even though some might have not understood all that was going on, the Lord did because he had the full story. And a lot of times, church leadership has a much fuller story about different people in the body of Christ than the body does. And when the church leadership then takes action on a situation, sometimes it makes it look like the church leadership is the bad guy, when in reality, the church leadership is protecting the church. These pastors needed to know that. Paul is saying, you've got to recognize, he says, there are going to be some, not just wolves, but look what he says in verse 30, also from among yourselves, they're going to rise up. Notice the word rise up. speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. He says, look, they're going to want glory. They're going to want position. They're going to pull politics. Hey, I think the church should be doing this instead, rather than trusting the overseers that the Holy Spirit has put into place. Do you follow? And so he says, look, you're the ones God's put there. Know where you stand. Know why you stand there and follow the Lord. Everyone's welcome and you need to teach them, but don't veer away from what God has called you to do. And know that sometimes even believers among yourself, because they're in the flesh and they want to be important, or they want position, or they want to look spiritual, or whatever they're wanting. In this case, he says they're wanting people to follow them rather than follow the Lord. Hey, let's go down the street and start a new church. We're mad at the pastor. Let's go, you know, whatever, right around the block and start another one. And then half the church goes over there. That's not of God. Now, God can send people out and a new church get planted. We've had three churches. We have one in Maryville, one up in the Smokies, and we're hoping to look at other places. We want to see as God's raised up. We'd love to see other churches planted that come out of this fellowship. Praise the Lord for that. But the bottom line is, somebody leaves under the guise of just kind of getting, they want to do things different, and they take a group of people with them. It does great damage. Paul says, be aware, be watching for that. Because the sooner you can head that off, the better it's going to be. The longer it goes, the worse it is. And I would say this, it's much easier and much better to have the wolf be there and be recognized, because the wolf is only there for destruction. But the motive of the believer oftentimes is for personal glory and position, and they want people to follow them rather than God. And the problem is they get in and make a lot of friendships, and then there's difficulties when that happens. Remember Moses in the wilderness. Now, by the way, nothing's going on here at Calvary Chapel. I want to make that clear. Which makes this an easy teaching to do. But it will. What I'm talking about, over the next few years, something's going to happen, because the enemy's always working. So I know that. But you look at what happened with Moses. He came out with the children of Israel at Calvary Chapel of the Wilderness, if you want to use a church example there. And Moses, God has appointed him to be the overseer, the pastor. Well, there's some guys that don't like it. Who made him the pastor? How come he makes the decisions? Well, why can't we do what we want? So Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, it says they rose up. Paul uses the word here. There'll be guys that rise up. Took men with them. Here goes the church split. And they go, and they go to Moses and say, hey, we don't like this. We don't like the way you're doing things. We hear from God just as much as you do, and we think the church needs to go this way. We need to do this and not do that, whatever the case might be. That's what needs to happen. And Moses, very humble, Moses says to them, look, guys, let's talk. Let's meet down here. Let me explain what God has told me to do. Let's get together. And they say, no. We're not going to meet. We're going to do what we want. And so Paul says, all right, let's. Everybody get up. He goes to God and says, God, you know my heart in this. I was pure. I'm doing what you've asked me to do. It's not my church. It's yours. They're trying to take it over. You're the one that put me here. I didn't appoint myself as Pastor Moses. That was your, you did that. Now you deal with them. Boy, did God ever deal with them. You know, again, Moses said, get away from the tents of Dathan, Abiram, and Korah and all that. And the earth opened up. Talk about a church split. The ground split and swallowed them up. Now, it doesn't happen that way today. But isn't it interesting? And here's the hardest thing for me as a pastor. When I see that kind of stuff happen, it's not so much that people like me and, oh no, they don't like me, they don't come to Calvary anymore. The sad thing for me about that, when these kind of things happen, and there's been one or two where a few families leave, you know, over the years, and like I said, it's very normal, and believe it or not, that's what Paul's warning them about. It just happens because the enemy's at work. The hardest thing for me is not that people get mad at the leadership and leave or think something's wrong or whatever the case might be. The hard thing is oftentimes what Satan does with that is he pulls them out of here and they go nowhere. You see how victorious he was in his scheme? They didn't go to another church oftentimes. The church hurt me. I'm going to go nowhere. And the church didn't hurt them. Satan did. And then they go run off and they don't do anything. And now they're just out there. And you talk about, look, a sheep by itself out in the field. How long is that going to be until the wolves begin to circle? And then you see these people a few years later, they're back in the club, they're back in drug, whatever's going on in their life. You're like, well, how did that happen? Well, because, you know, the church hurt me or something. Satan was able to come in and cause this problem. And so it's hard enough dealing with wolves, which are more evident. But again, the hard thing here and the damage I see, those oftentimes that are among us that rise up, they've made a lot of friends. And so maybe the leadership knows something that the whole body doesn't know. And the leadership wants to protect that person the same way Jesus protected Judas. I'm not going to give all the details because Judas may repent. That person may repent. And if you don't protect them and you just announce everything they've done to everybody, then now they could never come back and it's going to be hard to be restored. But here's the problem. When the leadership doesn't give all the details, you know what happens? They're hiding something. And then the person that's made friends with those that are rising up, they enforce that. Yeah, there's something wrong, man. And you see them pull a group away and they end up just falling off a cliff and the earth swallows them up. They get lost in the world without a church, without a fellowship, without people that love them. Now, that doesn't mean that leaders never mess up. It doesn't mean that leaders are always perfect. I'm saying we have to recognize as a body of Christ, this is a tactic of the enemy. And again, if all you know is that nice person that smiled every week for the last 6 months suddenly had to be dealt with leadership and they're gone, and you don't know all the details that the leadership knows, it could look like that the leadership's the bad guy rather than the bad guy. You follow me? So just, again, here, why do I say all this? Number one, I think we need to be warned, even as Paul was warning them. But the reality is we need to make sure, again, that when these kind of things happen, again, one of the reasons that oftentimes the leadership doesn't give all the details is to protect them, so that they're not torn down, so that they can repent, and so that they can have a chance to be restored. And I can tell you, there's a real temptation sometimes, you know, when you hear gossip and slander and rumors, there's a real temptation to say, all right, you want to know what really happened? We're just going to talk about it. I said, no. You can't do that, Mark. Zip it. We had somebody many years ago that did some stuff, caused a little kerfuffle, many, many years ago. And that same kind of thing happened. They were very friendly. They're a true believer in the body, had a lot of friends. People didn't know all the details. They left. Some people left with them. How could they, the leadership, this? About 5 years later, the guy contacts me and says, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. He said, it's on me. I sinned. I caused a big problem. And I said, I forgive you. I forgave you 5 years ago when it happened. What I didn't say to him was, the problem is I can't go back and restore all those people that you hurt. And that's the hardest thing for a pastor. You forgive, but you see the damage and the stuff, how it continues on. Now, you're saying, well, all right, well, Pastor Mark, what happens if the leadership is really goofy? What happens if they are really wrong? Yeah, we don't know all the details. We can't get all the details, and we shouldn't be trying to get them. The Bible says, don't be a busybody. So if we don't know, and then how do we know? Listen, God will reveal it with time. The Bible says this, be sure your sin will find you out. If your leadership is not following the Lord, God's going to show you your leadership's not following the Lord. But give it time. Time bears all those things out. You just wait, trust God. And here's what I've encouraged you guys to do. And this is a great time to have a teaching like this when everything's great. Listen, trust your leadership. God made them overseers. Trust your leadership even when you don't have all the details and some person you really like was asked to leave. Trust your leadership. But what if the leadership's wrong? If you don't trust your leadership, please take this the right way. This is not in any way other than truly a heart of love, because I'm going to speak to myself. I would find another church. If I didn't trust the leadership, I'd say, I'm out of here. And I'm the pastor. That's pretty bad. But either way, find a place where you do trust the leadership, because in every church, this is going to happen at some point. And if you don't trust that your leadership's getting together, seeking God, and working through this in a biblical way, maybe without you having all the details, you're never going to be settled and able to grow and like you should as a believer. So find a place you trust the leadership and then say, you know what? I don't have all the details. I don't know what just happened between them and these families and whatever. But you know what? I'm staying put because I've watched them over the years, and I think they're following God. I may not understand it. I may have my feelings hurt, but I'm going to trust God. And if you do that, what will happen is, if the leadership is in sin, whether it's here or any other church, over time, God will reveal it, and God will show you, and then you'll say, okay, now I know, and now I see that indeed this is something we need to break away from. But don't let Satan just come in and lie to you and snatch you away. The damage it does is just astronomical. It breaks my heart to watch it happen. But again, I've seen this happen from church to church, from time to time. Like I said, even a couple times over the years here. And so he says, look, they're going to come in from among themselves, among yourselves, rise up, draw people away. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years, I did not cease to warn you every night and day with tears. What Paul is saying is, look, I've warned you. Even as just then, I gave us a warning as the body of Christ. That warning I gave is the same warning Paul just gave to them. He said, when you go back to your own fellowships, wolves are going to come in, those from among you. There's going to be people leaving, people mad, people falsely accusing you. There'll be times they're wrong. There may be times the leadership's wrong. And if there is, you need to repent. So it's not just saying that, that's the point. But again, the reality is we have to understand God's in all of this. This is God's church, and God loves the church, and God's going to hold that leadership accountable. That's a fact. Every pastor is going to stand before God and give account one day for what he's done and how he dealt with the flock of God. That's why I'm so thankful for the blood of Christ, because I need it. And I've shared with you guys before, over the years, you know, 27 years here and starting the ministry even before that, for 30-some years doing ministry, I've done my own damage. I've hurt people. I've said wrong things. I've handled situations terribly wrong. There's people that I think of, I wish I could just find them and run into them, you know, so I could ask their forgiveness. I can't go back and change the stupidity that I had in the past. I can just try to be less stupid in the future. And that just comes from trusting in God and prayer and saying, God, you got to show me what to do. But you've got to have enough confidence in your leadership to say, okay, he's trying not to be stupid. I'm going to watch this and wait a while. And just believe that he's seeking God. And so the same thing is true for any church you're in, any pastor, any leadership. And so again, we'll finish today with Paul again, talking about really just expressing not only his heart to follow them, the example, but the warnings that we have that come with the church. It's a big responsibility to lead the body of Christ. It's also a big responsibility to be a part of the body of Christ and be a contributing person in that and make sure we stay clear of being guilty of sin. So what I want to do is pray for us that God will just, again, show us how to operate properly in the body of Christ, especially in the days in which we live. Listen, the Bible says in the last days, which I believe we're living in, doctrines of demons are going to start coming in the church. And by the way, the terminology, doctrine of demons, that conjures up, you know, somebody red with horns. Let me put that a different way. Doctrine of fallen angels. I believe the demons are the fallen angels. And so that means it's doctrines of fallen angels. Angels are beautiful beings. They're wise. They're supernatural. So when the teachings come in that are false, it's not, or the attacks or the accusations or gossip, slander, or trying to divide a church like Paul's warning them about here, when that happens down the road at Calvary, what you've got to be able to do is say, wait a minute, is this truly from, you know, something that God is showing me that is wrong here? Or is this the enemy coming in trying to destroy? And if a teaching comes in that from whatever the case in the church, from outside or within, that we can't find in scripture, we go, wait a minute, it sure sounds good. It sounds beautiful, but it's I don't find this in the Bible. I think we're going to see a lot of doctrines of demons in the last days creeping into the church because we're warned about that. We have to be ready. And so although this is a pastor's conference that Paul gave them, it's also a sheep conference as well, because we all need to hear it as a sheep, don't we? So let me pray for God to give us wisdom and for God to protect us here and for God to protect his church as a whole. Not just here, but his church as a whole, because this is something, as Paul dealt with those men, that the entire church around the world has to deal with. So Lord, I thank you, God, for the warnings, the wisdom and that you gave Paul and his experience over the years and his ability and wisdom here in his heart for the pastors there from Ephesus, meeting there in Miletus, to be able to say, look, imitate me as I imitate Christ. The way that I've lived before you, live that way. God will give you what you need and be warned for these things that are coming, whether it's wolves or those rising up among your own ranks. And just realize you've been appointed by God as an overseer. Take that responsibility seriously and honor God with it, because one day we'll all stand before the Lord. And so I just pray for each one of us in here right now that we would, again, be prepared, knowing the word of God, again, not nervously watching for wolves or someone causing problems, but at the same time, understanding if we see a red flag or a yellow flag pop up, to just be aware and to be praying for those individuals, God, because I know that you want to protect them and you want to see them keep this private and to repent, even as you did for Judas all the way till the very end, because of your heart. Lord, give us that heart. Give us that maturity. Give us that ability, Lord, to have that patience to wait and to trust. And so protect us as a body. I pray you not only protect us as a body from these attacks, but God, I pray you protect the body of Christ worldwide. Because your word says the enemy is going to come in like a flood in the last days. Satan, knowing that his time is short, there's nothing more he would love to do than destroy as many sheep as he can. And if he can't get our souls, which we know he can't, he can make us ineffective for ministry by sidelining us with tricks and schemes and doctrines of demons. So God, let us stand firmly on your word, firmly in your spirit, and we're going to trust that you're going to be our overseer and our good shepherd that will never let us down and can never be questioned. That's the shepherd we look to. And we give you all the glory and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've just heard Pastor Mark Kirk teaching from the book of Acts, here on Come to the Table. Acts is a powerful account of how the gospel spread from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth through the work of the apostles and the power of the Holy Spirit. It reminds us that God equips ordinary people to do extraordinary things when they step out in faith. Just as the early church faced challenges and opposition, we too can trust that God is in control and will guide us through every season. If you want to experience this kind of faith and boldness, it starts with trusting in Jesus. If you have questions about what that means, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 865-609-1385. Once again, that's 865-609-1385. In addition, you can let us know by using our questions or comments link found on our website, thewaymedia.net. While you're there, stay a while. Familiarize yourself with our ministry and what we're about. Come to the Table is a ministry based out of Calvary, Knoxville. If you find yourself traveling through, staying in, or residing in Knoxville, Tennessee, we hope you'll come check us out at Calvary Knoxville. Consider that an invitation from us to you. We'd love to have you join our community. Service times can be found at thewaymedia.net. Just scroll down and find the link to Calvary Knoxville. Well, that's all the time we have for you today, but we want to say thank you for listening. Pastor Mark has more valuable insights from the book of Acts. So join us again on the next edition of Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.